Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Ed, thank you for being here for this final program on Hebrews today.
You know, Chris, it's a real privilege to be here for this glorious conclusion of the life study of the book of Hebrews.
Ed, as we like to do in our wrap-up programs as we finish a book of the Bible, we break form a bit and spend more time reviewing and discussing the high points that have marked our journey along the way. Hebrews is certainly a book that has many of these high points. A point was made, in fact, in our first broadcast that Hebrews is a book that is not that well known among a lot of Christians. Witness Lee said early on in one of the life studies that Hebrews and Revelation are the 2 most mysterious books in the New Testament. But we have seen the secrets of this mysterious book really opened up in a marvelous way in this life study, haven't we, Ed?
Yes, Chris, we have. And I really thank the Lord that we have this life study of the book of Hebrews to open up to us all the mysterious points concerning our wonderful Christ in this book. At the beginning messages, we saw something very significant, and that is that all of us believers need to be the real Hebrews. And we saw that to be a Hebrew is to be a river crosser. And we get this from the root of the word for Hebrew, which means to pass over. Specifically, it means to pass over from one side of a river to another side of a river. Therefore, to be a Hebrew is to be a river crosser. And the first Hebrew was Abraham. Abraham was called the Hebrew. What Abraham did was he crossed over out of the land of Chaldea. He crossed the river Euphrates into the good land. And the God of glory appeared to Abraham to bring him out of the region of Chaldea, which was a land of idolatry, to cross the river into the good land. And the good land typifies the all-inclusive Christ for our enjoyment. And in the good land, the temple was built. And the temple signifies the church as the body of Christ, which needs to be built up through our enjoyment of the riches of Christ so that God can be expressed through the church for his glory. Glory is God's expression. So we need to be the real Hebrews. We have to cross river after river into the region of God's glory, into the all-inclusive Christ as our good land, so that the church can be built up as God's temple for God's glorious expression. And I would just like to say this, and this is a review. For us to cross a river means that when we cross a river, we wash ourselves from anything old, from anything ruined, and from anything that doesn't match God's glory. Right now, we need to cross a river. We need to wash ourselves from anything old of our past experience, from anything that's ruined, and from anything that doesn't match God's glory. We will hear a broadcast of a portion of a message he gave in 1989 in the Bay Area. And this is in a book titled The Practical and Organic Building Up of the Church. And we will see a marvelous summary of the book of Hebrews, a marvelous encapsulation of the wonderful aspects of Christ that we enjoy in the book of Hebrews. And we will also see what God's great will for us is in the New Testament. So I just commend this word of our brother Witness Lee to our listeners today. It will be a marvelous conclusion to our life study of the book of Hebrews, and it will encourage us to cross over every river to enter into the enjoyment of Christ as everything so that we can be his corporate expression in this universe.
Ed, this will be an interesting change of pace. We've been listening to these messages of the life study that was given, as we mentioned, in 1975 and 76. Now we're going to jump ahead 13 years and hear Witness Lee speaking on the book of Hebrews.
The church is the enlargement and expression of God's embodiment. How could this church come into being? this is very much related to Christ, to have Christ as the replacement for all the sacrifices and offerings. Christ came to replace, all the sacrifices and offerings. Now there's no more any kind of sacrifices and offerings needed, because all this has been replaced by Christ. In Hebrews 10, it says, God has no interest in these offerings. God doesn't have any interest in all these offerings. But God prepared Christ a body for him to offer himself to God to replace all the offerings. That is to do the will of God. In Hebrews 10, it is Christ replacing all the offerings for the purpose that he could be everything to us.
Amen.
For the purpose that we could have him and enjoy him and partake of him as our everything. This is God's will, to have Christ replace all the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, taking away the Old Testament types and establishing himself as everything.
Amen.
This will is great. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of Christ's body once for all. We may partake of him as our everything. Now, this Christ who replaced all the Old Testament matters and who set up himself as everything to us is firstly God to us. This is revealed in Hebrew. In Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, we have God in his humanity as our portion for us to enjoy. In chapters 3 and 4 is the apostle, Christ the apostle, typified by Moses, Joshua, and revealed clearly in Hebrews chapter 24. This Christ is also our high priest, typified by Aaron, and revealed in Hebrews chapter 4 to chapter 7. Now, number 4, this Christ is also the bequest of the new covenant, of the New Testament. As a testament, it has a lot of contents. Every item of the content is a bequest. And this revealed in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. This Christ is also a forerunner. He has ran the course of the race. He has finished. And this revealed in Hebrews chapters 11, 12, and 13. So, you have five items which Christ is to us. He is God in humanity. He is the apostle to us. And he is also high priest to us. And he is also all the riches, all the content, the bequest of the New Testament. And he is also the forerunner. He has cut the way.
Amen.
He has paved the way. Today, we just follow his footsteps to run the same course. So, he's our God in humanity. He's our apostle bringing God to us. And he's also our high priest bringing us to God. And he is the contents of the New Testament. And then, he is the accomplisher. He is the forerunner. He has run the course. This means he's everything to us.
Amen.
This is God's will. Now today, what do we have? Nothing but Christ.
Amen.
We don't have the sin offering but Christ. We don't have the trespass offering but Christ. We don't have the peace offering but Christ. We don't have the meal offering but Christ. And we don't have the burn offering but Christ.
Amen.
Christ is all in all to us.
Amen.
We just enjoy him. And what is to do the will today is just enjoy Christ.
Amen.
to live a life according to God's heart and will today is just to have Christ as everything to you.
Amen.
To live by Christ. Amen. To have Christ replacing all the types, all the figures, and to be everything to us. And today, what should we do? We just be a part of the body.
Amen.
Enjoying Christ as everything.
Amen.
And this is God's will.
Ed, this was a marvelous revelation of what God's will is as opened up from the book of Hebrews. I wonder if you would say just a bit more about what we've just heard.
Yes, Chris, this is absolutely marvelous that we as believers can know what the will of God is. Many times as believers, we consider what is God's will for our life. But when we think about God's will, we're centered on ourselves. What we need to realize is that God has a heart's desire. He has a will, and he wants to satisfy his heart's desire, his good pleasure. In this message, he shared that there are actually three aspects of God's great will, which I would just like to briefly summarize. Firstly, in the book of Ephesians, if you look in chapter 1, this chapter talks about the good pleasure of God's will, the mystery of God's will. Well, the whole book of Ephesians reveals that the good pleasure of God's will, the mystery of God's will, is he wants to have the body of Christ. The built-up body of Christ is God's great will in this universe. Also, if we go to Romans 12, if you look at verse 2, you can see that the will of God is that we would practice the church life, that we believers would practice the body life. So here's another aspect of God's will in Romans 12. Now, when we come to Hebrews, we see another glorious aspect of God's will. And in Hebrews 10, specifically verses 5 through 10, the Lord says, I come to do your will, O God. Well, what is God's will from this angle in the book of Hebrews? It's that Christ would come to replace all the sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament, even come to replace all the types in the Old Testament and to become the reality of all those sacrifices, all those offerings, and all of those types. He wants to become the reality of all those things to us so that we can enjoy him as everything to us. So when we put all these three aspects together, what we see is that God's will for us is that we would enjoy Christ as everything to us. In the practical church life, in the practical body life, as we fellowship with other believers in the body of Christ, so that we enjoy Christ as everything for the building up of the body of Christ, which becomes God's expression in this universe. This is God's will for us. And we can see in the book of Hebrews that Christ is so much to us for our enjoyment. He's the unique God. He's the complete God. He's the perfect man. He's the very God in humanity. And we'll see a little later that as the very God in humanity, he's the captain of our salvation. Also, he's our apostle, the real Moses and the real Joshua, leading us into himself as the good land, the all-inclusive Christ for our enjoyment. He's also our great high priest, typified by Aaron and Melchizedek. Aaron typifies Christ in his earthly ministry. Melchizedek typifies Christ in his heavenly ministry. And we will see in a little bit that what he's doing for us is he's praying for us right now. Wherever you are, Christ is praying for you so that he can minister himself into you for your enjoyment. And then he's also all the bequest of the new covenant. All the items of Christ in the Bible are our bequests in the new covenant for us to enjoy. And finally, he's the forerunner. He's run the race. He's gone before us, and he is now in the Holy of Holies in the third heavens. He has passed fully into God's glory, and now we need to follow him as our indwelling forerunner so that we can be brought fully into the glorious expression of God. To me, this is marvelous to see that what God's will for us is that we would enjoy Christ in all these aspects in the practical church life for the building up of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord that we know what God's will is. We just need to give ourselves to enjoy Christ as everything to us day by day.
Ed, I have to emphasize something you said at the beginning of your speaking here, following this recording from 1989, and that is that as believers, when we consider God's will, most frequently it's in the context of ourselves. But the key, if we really desire to understand and be brought into God's will, is to see it from God's perspective, God's point of view. That's really the focus of the book of Hebrews, the whole New Testament, isn't it?
Exactly. The focus of the whole New Testament is that God has a heart's desire, a great will in this universe, and he wants to accomplish this in us, through us, and with us.
Well, Ed, we've had this speaking from 1989, and we have the backdrop of the entire life study of Hebrews that we've heard over the previous 68 broadcasts. We've saved some time. I'd like to just open the remaining time to you and ask you to give us your impressions. Tell us what the Lord has opened up to you in a fresh way during our journey through the book of Hebrews.
Well, Chris, two aspects of Christ that I was particularly impressed with that really encapsulate the book of Hebrews to me is that Christ, firstly, is the captain of our salvation, leading us into glory, and secondly, he is our great high priest. And these two items are related to one another. In Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11, we see the revelation of Christ as the captain of our salvation. In verse 10, it tells us that he's the captain of our salvation, leading us, God's many sons, into glory. Now, this brings us to God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose is to bring us into glory. Glory is God expressed. Glory is the expression of God. God wants to fill us with himself, with all of his unsearchable riches, so that we're filled to the brim with him and we express him in a full way in his glory. This is God's goal. And to accomplish his goal, he has come into us in the person of Christ as the Spirit. He is indwelling us as the captain of our salvation. He's our indwelling captain, and he is fighting in us, fighting through all the obstacles in our being so that he can minister God into us to bring us into glory. Well, this is Hebrews 2:10. Verse 11 shows us the process that he takes us through to bring us into glory. This verse says, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified." He is the one who is sanctifying, and we are the ones who are being sanctified. Well, if you put verse 10 with verse 11, what this shows us is that he leads us into glory by sanctifying us. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that God wants to sanctify our entire tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body. And sanctification in this sense means that God wants to saturate us with himself in his holy nature, until we become as holy as he is. So what he wants to do is he wants us to be soaked, permeated, saturated, and filled with him in his holy nature to make us as holy as he is. So he comes into our spirit to sanctify our spirit. He spreads into our soul, our mind, will, and emotion to sanctify our entire soul. Finally, he spreads into our body to glorify us. And when we are fully glorified, we will be fully sanctified to become his holy, glorious bride. This is how he leads us into glory as the captain of our salvation. Now, he can only fulfill his duty as the captain of our salvation to lead us into glory by being our high priest. We need to realize that he is in us as our great high priest. The book of Hebrews mainly reveals Christ as our great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He is our real Melchizedek. When we go back to Genesis 14, we see the first mention of a priest in the Bible. And there, the priest in Genesis 14 is Melchizedek. And what he's doing is he's meeting Abraham, the first river crosser. Abraham comes from a great victory. And he comes, and what does Melchizedek do? He ministers bread and wine to Abraham. Well, this is very significant. Bread and wine are the elements, the symbols that we take at the Lord's table. These symbols signify the all-inclusive Christ with all his unsearchable riches for our enjoyment. So what is Christ as the great high priest doing? What he wants to do is he wants to minister himself into us with all of his riches. He wants to minister himself as the very God into our being. This is how he adds himself into us so that he can lead us into glory. He does this as our great high priest. Now, if he's going to minister himself into us day by day, we need to open ourselves to him. Even right now, we need to say, Lord, I'd like to open my entire being to you. Minister yourself into me right now in a fresh way. I want to be infused with more of your riches. Then secondly, we need to cooperate with him. He ministers God in his riches into us, and then we go to others and minister God into other people. We become one with him to minister God into people. This is the way God carries out his purpose to bring us into glory. Now, as the great high priest, one thing that he's doing for us all the time is he's praying for us. Hebrews 7:25 says that he is always living to intercede for us. You need to realize that no matter what your situation is right now, and the Lord knows right where we all are, but we need to realize that right now he's praying for us. He has our name on his breast, just like the great high priest had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on his breastplate and on his shoulders. He has our names written on his breast. His breast signifies his love. And he's bearing us on his shoulders with his divine strength into the very presence of God so that he can minister God into our being. I tell you, brothers and sisters, all of you who are listening to this broadcast, I just want to encourage you that as our great high priest, Christ is praying for us so that he can minister God into us. And what he does is he rescues us, not by taking us out of our sufferings or out of our environment, but he rescues us inwardly by infusing himself into us, by putting us upon him, by bearing us, and by carrying us through all the obstacles and hindrances in our being so that the riches of God can be infused into us so that we can become his glorious expression. To me, this is a marvelous revelation in the book of Hebrews that he is the captain of our salvation, leading us into glory by being our great high priest, continually praying for us so that he can minister God in Christ as the Spirit with all his unsearchable riches into our tripartite being so that we can become his glorious expression in this universe. This is the tremendous revelation in the book of Hebrews.
Ed, these surely are two marvelous high mountain peaks from the book of Hebrews, the captain of our salvation and this great high priest praying for us, ministering himself to us. It's quite a view, isn't it?
Yes, it's a marvelous view that really brings us into the heart of the book of Hebrews.
Well, Ed, we've now completed our fourth book on this life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. And I'd like to point out that this entire set of life study messages on Hebrews is available in bound volumes so that they can get into this rich material in more depth and detail at their own convenience. Thank you for your fellowship.
For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.